There are few things more satisfying to us in life than to be needed. Knowing that should help us understand we have been created with purpose, in community, and without all the abilities and resources to meet our own needs. God made us this way. Even a sinless Adam, living in a perfect world, needed a helper, so God created Eve. Even though we all sin and prove our imperfectness, God still needs us to do his work of filling the world with his glory in our spheres of influence, our home, work, relationships, and through the connections and partnerships we make with those around the world, friends, family, church planters, missionaries, etc. That's the way he chose to do it. So it shouldn't surprise us that Satan does all he can to separate us from people, especially God's people, creating division and animosity so that we quit working with people when things don't go right. Mind you, we don't always need Satan's help. Many times in our own selfish sin natures, we choose not to help, not to volunteer, not to be believers, not to be with believers, usually with lame excuses like, oh, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, someone else can do it, oh, I'm not really needed. Well, Jesus needs us to work together to send out the gospel and grow disciples. This morning in Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Jesus gives us a training lesson for all disciples that, one, Jesus wants our help. Secondly, he needs our help. And thirdly, he will empower us to serve him together in ministry. So as disciples today, let's learn the lesson also intended for us as we seek to work together for the glory of God. Father, I pray as we open up the word this morning, I just pray that our hearts are open to what the Spirit of God has to say to us. May we have ears to hear what your Spirit has to say, and may we respond to the truths that we need to apply to our own life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men, there could have been 15,000 to 20,000 people altogether, is recorded in all four Gospels, which is quite unique among Jesus' recorded miracles. Each Gospel writer gives us a bit more info, so we'll probably touch base on all of them while making Matthew's Gospel our anchor point this morning. When we piece together the events prior to the feeding of the 5,000, we understand that the disciples had just returned from their first short-term missions trip. Matthew 10, Mark 6, 12 to 13. And here we read in Mark's account in chapter 6 that they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Then we have this interlude about Herod's beheading of John the Baptist because Herod, who was insanely paranoid, believed that Jesus was John the Baptist risen from the dead. And he'd heard Jesus had done miracles, and as we see later in the Gospels, he wanted to see some of them, which Jesus never performed for him. Jesus here has left his hometown of Nazareth, where he was not well received and wanted to withdraw to a quiet place with the disciples to hear all about their ministry experience. But we read in Matthew 14, 13, hearing of this, the crowds followed him, Jesus, on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. They're there for a long time. It gets late. No one has anything to eat. In John's Gospel, Jesus approached Philip and asked him, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? Philip, who was from Bethsaida, which according to Luke's version, was the closest town to this location. And Philip does some number crunching in his head, and he probably remembers where all the stores were and shops were and in Bethsaida, and says, you know, I know we got a metro and an independent, but 8 months' wages couldn't get enough food for all these people. I mean, we're talking like a hockey game crowd here. But there's this boy who has five small barley loaves, like the poor man's bread, and two fish, probably pickled sardines, probably his lunch, which Jesus will take and miraculously multiply. In all four Gospel versions, Jesus approaches his disciples to feed the crowd. Now, everyone is tired. The disciples just returned from the trip. They suggest Jesus send the crowds away so they can go home and eat. But Jesus says to his followers, you feed them. And here we understand as Jesus' disciples that serving with Jesus is not optional. Serving with Jesus is not optional. This is the lesson Jesus was teaching his disciples. You need to feed my sheep. Here it's physical food, but in his original call to them, he called them to be what? Fishers of men. Attract people to the gospel and then feed them spiritually. And when you put both aspects of ministry together, we find there's always a practical need side of ministry, you know, food, cleaning, finances, sound, crowd control, paperwork, etc., that prepares the setting for the learning, praying, and growing aspect of ministry. Both are necessary, and therefore everyone is needed. Most of us are gifted in one aspect of that ministry over the other. When Jesus saves us, he calls us to join him in ministry. If you reject being involved in ministry, what is the evidence of your salvation? Because Jesus says he knows us by our fruit, which is the outward evidence of internal growth. So why do we all need to serve with Jesus? Well, practically speaking, everyone just simply needs a break. Everyone needs a break. The disciples have returned from their short-term mission trip. Jesus was hurting from John's death. They needed a break to debrief and pray and ask questions. Because when this miracle is over, what is it that Jesus does? Well, look at verse 22 in Matthew 14 here. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Jesus needed a break. God and Jesus could do it all without us, but that's not how they chose to set up Jesus' church. Each one of us needs to be involved in ministry in some way so that no one is overworked and everyone can enjoy breaks when necessary. But sometimes those breaks have to wait because there are people who have needs that must be met now. And to be ready to serve with and like Jesus at those times, especially when there's a need, then we must develop hearts of compassion. We need to develop hearts of compassion like Jesus. When Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, we read he was disappointed and said to himself, "Seriously, can I get a break? I just want to go home and watch Jeopardy." Well, no, of course not. It's not what it says. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Aside from the fact that he's God in the flesh, why, when he saw the crowd, was it so gut-wrenching? And by the way, that's what the word compassion means in the original language. It means gut-wrenching. It moves you. Because these people were spiritually lost, and many were desperate for healing. They weren't hearing the truth from the Pharisees. They were not on the narrow path to eternal life. You know, this is what we forget about the unsaved out there. Eternity is at stake for many as well. Many believers don't grow to the degree God wants us to grow. We are more interested in TV or sports or whatever good things we enjoy doing, but sometimes use as an excuse not to serve. We must stop making excuses to avoid serving. The disciples were not immune to coming up with excuses. When Jesus said, "You give them something to eat," the "you" being emphatic, of course, the disciples come up with the most repeating excuse in church history that we all use. And they basically say, "I can't. I'm not gifted. I don't have the resources." And Jesus responds back the same way he always responds back to us. "Show me what you do have. Stop telling me what you don't have." We learn from John's gospel that Andrew found a boy who gave him his lunch, which is a wonderful response. His response was, "Jesus, I don't have much, but you can use me or my resources that I'm willing to give to you." And we need to be reminded again and again that Jesus can and does use our limited resources. Verses 17 through 19. I'm sure this is something you've probably never heard before, and I know it will stun many people when I say this, but Jesus knows we have limited resources, and he knows we have limitations. Yes, he knows us all perfectly. Well, that should disqualify all of us from serving, right? Absolutely wrong. See, Jesus uses what we have. He uses what we have. The disciples say, "We only have 5 loaves of bread." And again, this is barley bread, not even the good stuff, and 2 fish, probably sardines. We only have. You know, how many times have we heard that? We only have so many people. We only have seniors. We only have young people. We only have these limited resources. You know, every church suffers from the "we onlys." There should be a gospel group out there calling themselves the "we onlys" and singing lame songs about all the excuses that we make as church folk. mean, every church has church prisoners too. You know that, don't you? Church prisoners? Well, those are the people who always say that, you know, I don't serve anymore because I already did my time, as if serving God was a prison sentence. I'm a firm believer that spiritual giftedness is not stagnant, that as we grow spiritually and physically, our ministries should change because our giftedness can change as well. There will come a time when we are unable to do the things we used to do, but that doesn't mean we're done. There are many ways we can serve Jesus. And if you're not sure, I'd love to talk to you about it later. The disciples think they're unable to feed the crowd. They're probably thinking, does Jesus think we can do miracles? Well, their missions trip was short term, but so was their memory, because they just got back from the short term's missions trip. And did we not read in Mark 6:12-13, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. I mean, they did miracles. It never dawned on any of them that the miracles they did in Jesus' power to heal the sick could have been duplicated in Jesus' power to feed the crowd. It never crossed their minds. Jesus knows we're limited, yet he's willing to use what we have and add his power to our gifts and resources, and then he blesses what we offer him. He blesses what we offer him. Jesus thanks God for what is available, and then he can use it for meeting people's needs and glorifying God. He prayed, probably a typical Jewish prayer of thanksgiving to God, then broke the bread to be divided, and somehow the bread multiplies. We're never really told exactly how the bread multiplied. I mean, they seat the hockey game-sized crowd down in organized fashion and split up and feed them like hot dog vendors at a game. And maybe even verse 20, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And here's the main lesson Jesus was teaching his disciples, that Jesus meets others' needs through us. He meets others' needs through us. Like the disciples, many times when we're faced with a great need, we don't believe we can meet. We can't, but Jesus can. And he wants to partner with us. He wants to see that he can and still can do even the miraculous. Can you imagine when the disciples first turned around, each probably having a small piece of one of the loaves and some fish, and, you know, hesitantly reaching into their basket to pull something out, thinking there's nothing there, only to find some more bread, some more fish. Some more bread, some more fish. Oh, happened again. Happened again. And after a while, you think they're getting excited. Like, oh, let's keep doing this. Like, you know, God is keep supplying their needs. What is it you're struggling to do that you know Jesus is asking you to do? Or what excuses or limitations have you given to Jesus that you've used not to do ministry? Let's all be honest and confess we've done all that. And we all struggle at times with that. Yet here's the thing. How many loaves of bread did the disciples themselves have coming into the situation? Well, they didn't have anything. They had nothing. They didn't bring anything with them. And no doubt they were hungry as well and looking for a sit-down meal with Jesus. But how many baskets were left over? 12. How many disciples are there? 12, one for each of them who also had no food. See, when you and I follow Jesus and serve him, the really cool thing that happens is when we serve others, our own needs are met. Serving with Jesus and meeting the physical or spiritual needs of those around us brings us great satisfaction. It's how the Spirit rewired us when we got saved. The things we used to look to be satisfied by no longer consume us. We find satisfaction in our relationship with God and being the hands and feet of Jesus. There are two things we need to see as we finish here that Jesus sees. Jesus sees us as partners in ministry. You and I are partners in ministry. with Jesus. There's no such thing as your ministry or my ministry. All ministry is Jesus' ministry, and he wants us to partner with him to meet the physical and spiritual needs of others. While most of us have strengths in meeting practical needs or spiritual needs, don't get caught up in only focusing on the one area of ministry. Some believers who are extremely gifted in the practical aspect of ministry hardly grow spiritually, spending little time in studying God's word with his people. However, you can also be so focused on becoming so spiritual that you ignore the needs of people right in front of you, which means you're gaining head knowledge but not heart knowledge. And secondly, the only way we'll serve with Jesus is if we see people as he does, with eyes of compassion. Even though he was tired and wanted to spend time alone with his disciples, he saw these lost people, many of whom had hobbled or were carried by others, desperately looking for help from Jesus. While no doubt many of them were just along to get physically healed or just to see a miracle, and after this hoping for a free meal, Jesus still served them. Yes, we need to be discerning, but lead with compassion. Let God and Jesus sort it out with their hearts. Jesus needs you. We need you. People need material and spiritual help. Jesus will empower us through the limited resources and gifts we offer. And when we partner with him, there's more than enough blessing left over. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this message this morning. We're grateful that we're reminded that you actually want to use us. You need us to continue your ministry. And maybe that's an aspect we've never really looked at. We've always looked at our own limitations or made up excuses to not serve you for selfish reasons. There is no other reason. It's all selfish. We know that. So forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we've done that. But Lord, help us this morning to realize that the church is a body, and every body part that's inactive hinders the body from functioning in a manner that could truly glorify you. Lord, help us all. Help each one of us here to want to serve you, to look for ways to serve you, and to serve you with each other. And even though we are not perfect and we sometimes don't get along as great as we should, that doesn't give us an excuse to quit. So Father, speak to us through your word. Humble us when we need to be humbled. Help us to ask for forgiveness when we need to ask forgiveness. But most importantly, help us to be an extension of Jesus to our lost world around us. In whose name we pray. Amen.